This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The big guy. I tried that last time. The bit wasn't as great. I caught you off guard the first time, and then the second time. I got to tell you, getting a little antsy. It might be the stimulant I took before the show really kicking in.
Stimulant? Were you over where I told you I was offered some stimulants
in the restroom one time? No. I'm trying to cut a little bit, so it's just a little ECA stack, you know, and starting to really get
Oh, you're
there.
On a stack.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go. Let's do this. Watch out, baby. It's coming. I'm telling you this. So it's really starting to kick in.
I'm trying to get on testosterone.
I've got plenty. You want some?
But like the illegal kind. I want the illegal. I want the illegal stuff.
What's the baseball player that does the Nugenics?
Oh, Frank Thomas.
Yeah, there you go.
I want like injected stuff. I want the hardcore stuff.
Right? I always want the non-FDA approved.
Yeah, I want the real
one
stuff.
That you need help taking.
Yeah, the one that someone has to do it for me.
Yeah, that's the kind you want. No, I'm getting antsy. Like, I want to get down there. I like this. I can't wait to go down there. Also, we were talking about this for the summer league. There are times, many times, where I would sit in the press section last year, and there would be somebody standing in the press section with his back turned to the game, talking to the people, like the whole game. I'm there for the terrible basketball. I can't wait to watch terrible basketball.
I am actually surprised newspapers who are barely making it in America send their beat writers out here for this. I mean, to me, it's just a paid vacation to come to Vegas.
So the way I view Summer League is it's one of those situations where someone says, you know, if that was happening in my backyard, I wouldn't watch it. It's happening in my backyard, and I'm kind of going
to
watch it.
I mean, at the very least, tonight, you're going to stick around and watch Wembanyama, right?
Well, I have a press pass, so I don't have to pay any money to see Wembanyama.
Very much so.
Yes. I'll probably just watch like the first half, though, for being totally honest.
Yes. With just water, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Being professional.
Yeah. Maybe soda. I don't know if caffeine's frowned upon according to the HR rules.
That's a stimulant.
It's definitely a stimulant. Although, I don't know about you, but I've put so much bad in my body, it takes a lot of soda for that caffeine to kick in.
Oh, like, I have a problem with caffeine in that, like, I kind of desperately need it a lot of the times.
But I need a lot of it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, so there's times where if I don't have any and I'm really desperate, like, I'll be like, just give me a Dr. Pepper, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just need to feel something.
Well, you wake up early. We both wake up pretty early. Yeah. Amal's going to sleep when we wake up. Do you notice if you try to, like, not have caffeine, you will sit there and realize for 45 straight minutes your brain's accomplished nothing?
That, and I get angry.
Yeah.
If you have caffeine?
It's not even, like, overtly angry, but, like, those things irritate you, you know?
Everything irritates me when I'm caffeinated as well, but more so when I'm without it.
Nah, with me, I'm just like, all right, yeah. I don't care if my belt loop got stuck on the door. That's fine. But if I'm not caffeinated.
Do you know what happens a little too often? This is inside baseball, inside my pants, basically. Well, shouldn't have said that. Wearing gym shorts around the kitchen and the handles on the drawers, the gym short pocket will get caught.
Oh, yeah.
And tug and pull you back.
Yep.
You ever had that happen, Amal?
Yes.
Do you wear gym shorts, Amal?
Not as much as I used to. I used to play a lot of basketball. I don't anymore after I broke my ankle for the third time. But
third time?
Yeah. Well, first time I broke it, I took a saw and cut the cast off after 2 weeks. I called the doctor. I was like, "Yeah, you should be fine."
No.
And I paid the price for it now for about 30 years.
Is it Fast and the Furious 6 where The Rock like breaks his arm and like a day later he's like, "I don't need this," and he just breaks out of it?
Before or after he redirects a missile and saves Earth
okay.
for the seventh time?
Hold on. He redirected a torpedo on ice. It's a little bit more realistic.
I just want to point out about the Fast and the Furious franchise, which I haven't seen like the last four because it's a lot.
Yes.
Just a reminder. The whole series started because this group of people in Honda Civics barely were able to steal DVD players off of tractor trailers.
Right.
And now they've saved the world like five times.
That's how it happens.
These franchises have done quite well.
Yeah. People are dumb.
I don't disagree with that, but I'm not a huge basketball shorts guy.
I figure that's what you go to sleep in.
It's funny, though. Everybody makes fun of me for it. They're 100% right. Goulet's like, I see you like sitting around the house watching college football. You got like jeans on and shirt on.
When you're in your home, you are still wearing the clothes you wore from the outside world.
No, I have different, like, I have like a, there's like a Ralph Lauren shirt I wear every day. Like, I remember there's places I go
it's
to
like
get
a
food.
Presentable shirt, though. Like, it's like a button down.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I get in my apartment. My clothes come off in the kitchen. And I put on gym clothes.
It's like is it the movie or whatever where he does this and like all the clothes fly out? Is it Jim Carrey?
Nobody owns more gym clothes without actually wearing them to the gym than I do.
I'm just more impressed by his call. Like, it's accurate what he said. I was just impressed.
You just give that vibe. Like, I don't think, I've never seen you in a t-shirt. I cannot picture you in a t-shirt. Yeah. And I've seen, I think, everybody in that, at this network, I have seen, I think, everybody in a t-shirt at least one time.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know, wearing a collared shirt, just sitting, like, if you were at your house and someone calls, like, Amal, emergency, need you here right now, you would be presentable to leave the house at that moment in those clothes.
100%.
Like, shoes on, jeans on?
I don't wear shoes in the house. I mean, Asian, man. We take off our house when we wear shoes when we walk in the house.
But jeans are on.
Jeans are on,
You're a psychopath.
No, but the jeans I have are like ripped because I won't relinquish them because they're my best fitting jeans.
You're still a psychopath.
Oh, yeah. Still kind of nuts. You don't have the shirt with the holes around the collar that you've worn too many times.
I have shirts
I've had to cut it a little bit. It's kind of gone south, but like the majority, like I can get out of the house in 2 seconds.
Do you know what
seconds.
You are? I know what he is. He's a never nude. That's what it is.
Oh, I'm nude all the time. I'm walking around naked.
No, but like, you're never nude?
No, I go to the pools.
You wear jean shorts in the shower?
No. Okay. Never nude. I never heard that before, though.
Because I live on like the top floor. There's only 3 floors, so it's not bougie. And I realized no one could see into my apartment, I immediately stopped wearing clothes around my apartment. Yeah.
I think the difference for me is like when I lived in Miami, you never, ever wore anything but shorts or just, you know, you were always at the beach because I lived right a block from the ocean. So it was always in the water and things like that. And so now, like ever since I was in Dallas, like I always just kind of got dressed up and kind of kept that here, even with 110 degree weather.
You're crazy.
By extension, you're not a flip-flop guy then, right?
This guy's good, man. Yep. This guy is good.
See, I kind of pictured you being a flip-flop and jeans guy.
No, I hate the flip-flops. The only reason I have flip-flops is to run into the garage or, you know, take the garbage out or something like that.
I'm good.
Wow. He is very good.
I can evaluate
you've
people.
Got him pegged pretty
he
good.
He does, right? Absolutely.
Come on now. Yeah. I can read people.
But that's a good read on both of them.
Yeah, but none of these are, like, admirable qualities.
That's your perspective. I'm not trying to appease anybody else. I'm trying to appease one person.
You should be comfortable in your home.
I am comfortable. That's the thing. I am very comfortable.
If you need to wear a belt with the pants you're wearing in your home.
I don't wear a belt at home. No,
no, but if you need to, but there's belt loops.
That's him all getting comfortable. He takes his belt off when he gets home. That's him unwinding.
That's true.
I'm going to do the top button of my house shirt.
When he's at home, he takes the belt off. He's like, whoa, I'm all like, chill, man.
I got the Richard Jefferson look at home.
It's a good shout. See, I can read people. It's because I'm a Scorpio. That's what they say, I think, at the very least.
That is the biggest scam in the world.
Of course.
What's that? Astrology? I can tell you right now, I'm a Sagittarius.
Is it astronomy or astrology?
It's astrology. Astronomy is the study of the actual stars.
The real one?
Yeah. Galaxy.
Which, by the way, did you know, JVT, we learned this yesterday on the program. There are more trees in Canada than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
I don't believe that.
300 billion trees in Canada.
What?
I just went along with him, but I kind of would have
challenged him. I Googled it. A bunch of things popped up confirming.
That sounds like I don't know about
fake
that.
Fake news?
Yeah, it sounds fake. Like Brian Ortega, one of our producers one time, what's the last of the Triple Crown races horse racing?
The Belmont.
The Belmont. He was like, you know, on the home stretch of the Belmont, you can lay the Eiffel Tower sideways, or the Eiffel Tower, excuse me, the Empire State Building sideways. And I'm like, what? That sounds completely ridiculous.
Because it's like 1,000 feet.
Right.
In 2015, Nature... which I can't tell if they're talking about a group or like actual nature.
Like just nature itself, right?
Published a study estimating the globe. By the way, feels like some insider trading.
Like somebody like
nature.
Moses went up to the top of a mountain and was told that there's this many trees in Canada.
Yeah. Like definitely special interest group called Nature. We're going to trust it. They published a study in 2015 estimating the global tree population at more than 3 trillion trees. 700 billion trees are located in North America and Eurasia. Canada has 318 billion.
Wow.
And there's only 100 billion in stars in the Milky Way.
Okay. That's my second favorite statistic now of all time.
But we're going to find out, like, the certain bushes, like, you know, like a tomato is a fruit, not a vegetable.
Right. There
you go. We're going to find out certain bushes are technically trees, not bushes.
They're going to count all the weed in Canada, too.
Oh, that's a good call.
You know what I mean?
But if you really look, Canada's a lot like California and this state. I don't want to say the state incorrectly because you'll shame me. Nevada.
Nevada.
Got
Nevada.
It.
It's like there's like a couple of cities and then a lot of nothing in between them.
That's very true.
Canada's got like a couple of civilizations and a lot of woods and snow in between.
Still untouched by the maws of humanity.
By the way, when I get into office, one of the things I'm going to advocate for is the Capitol gets moved from Carson City to Vegas.
I mean, we all know it's the Capitol.
My point is, why are we sending people to Carson City? Right. Nobody's there. It's a waste of money.
I think we're good on people.
80% of the population is in Clark County.
Yeah, but we're good. They can stay somewhere else.
There's nobody there.
It's a very good point, actually. Now I'm back. I'm back. I was there for a second. Now I'm back.
Give them a reason to go somewhere else.
Yes, we've got enough going on here, including, by the way, that neutral site tournament in the NBA. It's going to be great. A lot of good events. People just keep coming here, man.
Huh. Why are they doing this?
No, don't do that. Well, because you want to know why? Because everybody, what you just did, everybody did that about the play-in tournament. And that's one of the coolest things that they've done.
I got to say I was wrong on the play-in tournament.
See?
I like it a lot. I won't tell you what's stupid, though, is the in-season tournament.
Yes.
Nope.
The WNBA has it. What's the purpose of it? It's so useless.
I didn't even read the story. I only read headlines. That's how I am like every other American. I am informed enough to have a water cooler discussion about everything, but an expert on nothing.
It's pretty much the same thing as the WNBA. Like, certain games are going to be designated, like, you know, how they have Commissioner Cup games.
Yeah.
They're going to be designated.
End result?
Yeah, exactly.
Money bonus for all the players.
But in the WNBA, the money matters because they don't make the type of money they make in the NBA. What in the NBA?
Well, the intriguing betting part, actually, is that when they release schedules, they're only going to release 80 of the 82 games for every single team because they have to decide. Because if you play in the championship game, that would consider an extra game. So they can't finalize any of the schedules until the tournament is set.
Oh, good for them.
They should embrace gambling if they're going to be in Vegas and teams, in order to win, have to cover.
Oh, that'd be good. It'd be good. Hey, man, it's just another thing for us to go to out here, too. That's why I'm happy. I mean, come on, let's do it. VSiN live from the neutral site tournament, whatever it's going to be called. Can't wait. All right, we're going to go back to Dead or Alive because there's a couple of things we got to clean up here.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm pretty good with numbers. I'll say 77.4% chance that I'm not allowed back on the show after eating 10 minutes talking about Amal's clothes and trees and stuff. So
I was into it. I think the listeners were into it.
Patrick would. We can't do that. Patrick yelled at me that one time, and ever since then, I've been scared of him.
He's yelled at all of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll blame Amal on that one because I just looked at my phone for like 2 minutes during a break one time, and Patrick was like, "Hey, what are we doing?"
PTSD.
Yeah. This is great. Can we throw this up really quickly? So there's a great reference. This is Amal. Like, so is this, do you guys put this, is this something that's already been put together?
Because usually in the third hour, he falls asleep.
Yeah. So that's brilliant because I don't know if you just heard me. I said, I could picture Amal more likely in like a stocking cap and one of those long white nightgowns with the slip-on slippers than I can in shorts and a t-shirt. So
low-key, Amal, that bed you're in looks comfy.
Looks like a couch. I guess it's the angle. Yeah, it's a bed. Yeah, you're right.
I don't disagree. Michelle did a great job there with the graphic. By the way, did you notice on the side pictures they put a photo of Dustin and Patrick?
Did they really?
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, I believe it's a selfie of me in a public restroom taking a selfie of myself.
It's the best place to do it, especially if there's
mirrors and lighting.
There's that really sad attendant that's there, too.
Yeah, and usually if the stall's open.
You're talking about in the restrooms?
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
Can't go down this path.
No. Listen, I know most people will agree with me on this. That is the most annoying thing in the world. Because now you're like, this dude hands you a paper towel, and now he's expecting you to give tip. I'm like, dude, all I got are hundreds. I'm sorry.
No, you want to be a politician, Amal? Here's your campaign. You no longer have to tip for things that aren't tippable.
Okay, I'm sorry, JVT. I know you want to talk about something else.
The powers that be know that I'm not.
I don't care.
I'm trying.
Listen, let me tell
you something. I'm sorry I did this.
My dry cleaner has a tip jar. Dude, you are extorting me for what you charge, and nobody brings in more shirts in a week than I do.
Forget the jar. Everywhere you pay with a credit card now says, do you want a tip?
Yes.
Right. No. If I wanted to pay for something where I had to tip, I would have went somewhere better.
So, I have a question for you. You've been in this town a long time.
You're asking the wrong guy because I'll just say this up front. Every once in a while, I'll stop like right here to get a Red Bull I will tip a dollar.
No, every once in a while
you tip the bartender.
Yeah.
That's different.
But he's just opening the can. I hate myself every time I do it.
No. I always tip servers or bartenders or people like that. I'm talking about like when you go, for example, when you go to cash a ticket at the window, and I asked somebody that works in a sports book, I said, what do you expect the tipping percentage to be? And he had the audacity to say to me 10%. I said, are you out of your mind?
I placed the bet on my app. All I'm doing is coming to you to cash it out.
Yeah. So I asked somebody one time, I said, do you tip the teller at the bank when you withdraw your money?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Here's my question for you then. You're a poker player, right?
Yeah.
Do you tip when you leave the table?
No, you tip when you win a hand.
Okay.
Also, how just because I'm pulling money out doesn't mean I'm up.
Yeah.
Also.
Right, yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. That's what people don't get. So generally, like, it's a dollar per hand. Now, there's kind of like a theory when, like, it's a bigger pot, you might tip a few dollars
more.
But
you accept that? Like, that's, you should tip there?
Yeah, because the problem is, somehow, poker players have allowed the casinos to get away with paying poker dealers $4 an hour.
Whoa. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. They make $4 an hour plus
tips. Is it like
tips.
that waiter dynamic where some are underpaid because they assume that they're getting tips?
Correct.
Okay.
But I don't know why the onus is put on the player.
That's crazy. I would feel like I would unionize over
there. In Australia, it's great. You can't tip the dealers.
Where?
In Australia. The dealers don't get tipped. Huh. Because if you look at it, because I was keeping track one day. I was like, dude, over a month's time, I kept track of how much money I ended up tipping. And over a month, it was $300. That's a lot of money to tip.
I'm fascinated by you in Australia. Australia invents a lot of cool things. You know, they invented a different kiss. You ever heard of the Australian kiss?
Like kiss?
Yeah, like kissing someone.
Okay.
It's like the French kiss, but down under.
Okay.
By the way, we were on a good topic on this tipping thing because there was actually this poll
did.
I just saw something.
It was actually an acceptable topic, I feel like, too.
It was, but I had to ruin it.
I can't. I will say, you mentioned the break. My wife is very cool because you met her about a month ago or so. The one, I'll say my wife's red flag, she's always trying to give away her money. Like, she's very pro tip, generous, all that kind of stuff.
No, I am too, but at places where you're supposed to tip.
So, I worked in the restaurant business when I was in college. I waited tables. Mm-hmm. Hardest job I've ever had in my
former
life.
Former barista, by the way. That's why I'm very pro-tip as well.
So am I. Very mad respect. Like, I can tell you right now in my entire life, there's only been one time I was at a restaurant and didn't leave a minimum of like 20%.
Yeah.
We were at the old Terribles. The service was so bad. The food was cold. We walked out on the bill. We didn't even eat. We walked out.
Wait, isn't that a gas station?
Or it used to be a casino.
It used to be a casino. This is like years ago. And
it's where, you know, Silver Sevens.
Yeah.
I'm not against eating at gas stations, by the way. I've done it.
Just saying, like, so as a person who served, you generally tend to over tip, right? Yeah. Like,
be careful about saying as a person who served, it might be taken as stolen valor.
I just got out. It's like whenever people see me, they're like, hey, Ma, I haven't seen you in a while. Just got out. That's my standard line.
Someone who's, no, I was thinking more like military served.
No, I meant like just got out, you know, just did time. lockup. But anyway.
Anyway, dead or alive.
All I'm saying is this tipping should be dead. This nonsense of tipping everywhere is too much.
That's right. I won't tip when Sonny Gray wins AL Cy Young. How about that?
Well, I hope he does because I have him at 40-1. He's currently 20-1. He's been really consistent, and I think things have opened up with McClanahan getting hurt.
So here's my thing. So when I was looking at the odds the other day, I thought I missed something with Sonny Gray in that, like, was he hurt? Is he missing time? Because when I saw those odds on him to win it, I was like, what? Like, what am I
He's
missing?
He's there.
Yeah. What am I missing in terms of that profile? He's freaking awesome.
I don't think he's consistent enough. And here's my knock on Sonny Gray, the same knock I had on Julio Urias. He doesn't go deep enough into games. Sonny Gray is not a take the ball every fifth day, give you 7 or 8 innings. Sonny Gray is a struggle to get through six guy.
Right now, dude, he's been pretty hot this year. He's got a 2.5 ERA in the AL.
Not saying he's not good. I'm just saying when you think of Cy Young guys, you think of DeGrom, 8 innings, 9, 10 Ks, 1 run, 4 hits kind of
but
guy.
But in a year where no one's really separate, like Gossman's been very good, Valdez, Framber's been very good, Cole's been solid.
Well, and also, I mean, wouldn't you argue too, then today's day and age in baseball is going long something that is like really held against you anymore?
No, he still goes. It's not. He doesn't understand that.
Well, and I went through, by the way, of his 17 starts, 7 of them, he went 6 or more innings.
And here's the thing. When you look through his game log, a lot of these guys have blow ups. He has not had a blow up yet.
Yes.
He doesn't pitch long enough to get blown up.
No, dude, he's going 6 innings. What are you talking about?
I just said 6. I said he's a 6 inning guy.
He's on pace for 186 innings this year. That is good enough to win the Cy Young.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying the perception is, and you guys might be right that it's, you know, no longer have to go 7. But you look at Sandy. He'll have a game. Verlander, same thing. You know, 7, 8 hits. 5 runs, he eats it for the bullpen, and they just sit out there and they give you 7 or 8
innings. Sandy Alcantara's proving why you don't do that to people, though. because this year he has failed to recover from throwing so many innings a year ago trying to win that Cy Young award.
I also think there's a little bit of pressure because the Marlins' offense is so anemic at times. Last night, would they get shut out by Flaherty and company?
Yeah, but they were hot.
Excuse me. But I just think it's a lot more difficult when you realize that you've got to keep a team to two runs or less.
I think at the very least, would you agree that he's got a better shot than 20, 25 to 1 would indicate for Sonny Gray?
Yeah, that part, you're fair.
He's
actually
up to 40 to 1 on DraftKings right now.
Is he? See, like
he jumped in the last few days.
Like the numbers like that, when I'm looking at a guy who, like you said, he's at what, 92, 93 and 2/3. He's got a sub 2.5 ERA or just right there. Like, that, what am I missing with that?
40 to 1 is a number where, like, I take flyers. On a, that's a number where I'll take flyers on bets I know are going to lose because I have to lay so little to win so much.
Listen, you guys make valid points. He's got, I like the one strikeout per inning. He's got 96 Ks and 93.2. You mentioned it. The one thing that really bodes well for him so far this year, 17 starts, has not given up more than three runs in any of those starts.
Yep.
And I think in 14 of the starts, he's given up two earned runs or less. Now, I'm going to read you some stats, and you guys tell me. Valdez at 2.49, Gray 2.5, McClanahan 2.53, Cole 2.79, and Eovaldi 2.83. When you look at these five guys, maybe with the exception of Eovaldi, but don't you put the other three guys just go, you go, McClanahan, Cole, and Framber are just better than Sonny Gray?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. No,
but
no.
He's got a better ERA. Statistically, he's probably had a better year than most of these guys when you look at it.
He's in the mix. Is he going to win it? No. But if I can get enough guys at that big price at the end of the year, I don't mind taking whoever is the favorite at that point at 2-1.
Right. Like we always use, the V word too much, value. I think this is a good example of, I think there is value there. I think the percentage that number would tell you that he has to win that award is lower than what he actually has a chance of winning it.
I'll tell you the guy who still has value, and that's Shohei Ohtani at 11-1. Like that. That it doesn't make sense. If you look through his career, he is a better second half pitcher.
Mm.
And as long as he stays in the American League, that team that he goes to is acquiring him because they need
he's
him to be an ace.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
I object to your assertion that he's better in the second half, and here's why. If you look at the Angels one with a six-man rotation a couple of times.
They do it right now.
Well, I'm saying it was like he was pitching sixth and seventh days. You're getting way more opportunities. If you're in a regular rotation, you're not going to get that opportunity, in my opinion.
And he's got more innings pitched than Sonny Gray right now.
By the way, Sonny Gray has gone two games where he's gone seven innings. Framber Valdez, seven innings or more, nine times.
Numbers are though still pretty similar for one to be 2-1 and one to be 40-1, though.
All I'm saying is I feel like he would fall off of a cliff in that seventh or eighth inning.
Morosi had a report yesterday that Ohtani's not going anywhere. I'm just throwing it out there.
Hey,
again, at the deadline. I'm willing to bet it. When we're talking about that, dead or alive, dead. He's not going anywhere.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today. New customers can bet $5 and get $150 of bonus instantly. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. So I like having conversations in between breaks, and I said something that sparked one of the great moments that I've seen, where Dustin and Amal simultaneously pointed at one another.
Like the Spider-Man.
Like it was instantaneous. It was great. So I made a comment last time, right, in a couple minutes ago. Value is an overused term in the sports betting space. There are people who think value is only a plus price. And I think there's a lot where people just don't understand what the concept of value is. You know, value is, I think the other thing that people don't really understand it all either is value is very subjective to you, right? Like that's the thing. It's how you rate a certain event will happen compared to what the market has. Value is different for you as of me and everybody else, but I think we overuse the word and thus like my comment, because every time you see a plus price, it's like, oh, there's value there. Not necessarily.
So I'm going to give you a quick poker analogy to tie back to what you were saying. One of the things that sometimes you'll hear people in poker say, oh, I can't believe you called with this or this. I said, let me tell you something, buddy. Different things have different value to different people.
Different strokes for different folks.
Well, they don't understand that if a guy you're playing with is potentially, let's say he's worth $10 million, he may not care about losing X amount of dollars. And you're playing with the guy who's looking to pay the rent. It might be a different situation. And I think you're absolutely right. To kind of expand upon what we were talking about, it starts with the Ronald Acuna story about winning the MVP. And to Dustin's credit, he made the point to me. He goes, Ronald Acuna at minus 140. A lot of people say, well, it's a bad bet. He's a minus favorite. We're in July. There's no reason to bet him. I disagree. Dustin pointed this out, and he's absolutely right. Ronald Acuna has a chance, JVT, to become the first 40-60 guy in the history of baseball. Probably the first guy that would have done that would have been Eric Davis, but they had the strike in 94 when he was at 37 and 50. And I tell you what, Acuna, barring injury, and the way the Braves are playing, I think if he got injured at the end of, say, middle of August, he's winning the MVP still. Mm-hmm. He's been that dominant. So to me, at minus 140, it's still a good bet. There is nobody else right now that's even a comparable player who's going to be able to win this thing. People would say, well, he was – Dustin, what was he roughly before the season started? Probably like 10-1, 12-1?
No, he was definitely the favorite. He was shorter.
7-1?
I'll see if I can find it here.
But still, I my point is that if you see a guy that you feel extremely confident and comfortable is going to win this award – people would say, well, there's no value. Why is there not? If I told you at the end of November, you're going to give me X amount of dollars for every $14 you give me, I'm going to give you $10 back. What is wrong with that? That's a great return on your money.
I've got, let me see, Ronald Acuna Jr. before the season started, 10-1.
10-1.
You got a good website. Send me that website.
It's actually not a great website. If you want, I'll send it to you. Right. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see what I'm talking about.
All I'm saying is that I think sometimes when we sit there, look, in a point spread, it's different, right? In the NFL, if a line moves from 7 to 5.5, it's a bigger difference because a game could potentially land on 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But when you see a number moving in a certain direction, it doesn't mean, like, you look at the WNBA right now. The Aces are minus about 225 to win the WNBA title. You'd sit there and say, well, you know, it's too high of a price. Fine, maybe you think of it that way. JVT, I think they're sitting at like 17 or 16-1 right now.
Mm-hmm.
This team is literally crushing everybody. It looks like UConn women's basketball when Geno had that run with Breonna Stewart there and they're winning national title after national title. This team is going to win. The New York Liberty, I think, are the only team that can even challenge them, and they're going to get dusted. It, to me, it's still not a bad bet. I just can't stand when people are like, oh, there's no value in it. You know what? Then sit there and try to find Leicester City for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, and look, whenever these conversations come up, it's the easiest example to bring up. Was it 4 or 5 years ago, the Floyd Mayweather fight?
Against Conor.
Against Conor McGregor. It was minus 550 was the best bet you were ever going to make ever.
John Murray called it the greatest bet in the history of sports.
It is. And I would argue, too, we just watched an event as well.
Yeah.
It's look, if you had the, like, because it actually made headlines. There was somebody, was it DraftKings, that announced that somebody had bet whatever amount of money, obscene amount of money, to win $6,000 on Victor Wembanyama to go first overall.
Yes.
You were just betting that he was going to be there on draft night. That's all you were betting. You just, that was it. Because he was going to be selected. And the, like, things like that, where you see these massive prices and people have these conversations again about value. Value is what you perceive it to be, but there's also these events. Floyd Mayweather against, yep, Conor McGregor, Victor Wembanyama to be the first overall pick. Like, you can find value in massive prices.
Like last year, humble great brag, point. I hit Paul Goldschmidt +750 to be, or 75-1 to be the NL MVP.
Yeah.
If I'm going to just chase 75-1s for the rest of my life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go broke.
You're absolutely right. No, you're right. Like, you can bet Vanderbilt to win the SEC. They're probably 150, 200-1, right? But when you look at it, who's going to win? You know, it's interesting. I'm glad you guys brought this up. Georgia right now, and Dustin, you and I have talked about this all year. Dustin lived in Georgia for a long time. The University of Georgia has the easiest football schedule I've ever seen in the history of college football for a Power 5 team that's ranked in the top 5. They're going to go undefeated. They play JVT. I don't know if you know this. Do you know how many teams they play? I kind of gave it away, but they play one team this year that has a season win total over 7.5.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So they've literally got, I went through the schedule, and a friend of mine goes, well, their season win total is at 11.5. 11 is -175, and 11.5 is plus money. I went through the schedule. I'm like, South Carolina's not beating them between the hedges.
Every time I see this graphic, it's incredible looking at their schedule and how it breaks down.
It truly is a joke. They got a bye before the game against Florida in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And by the way, none of their road games are more than a 4.5-hour car ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is unbelievable, the schedule. All I'm saying is, that to me, at -175 to win 11 games, you're basically, the bet is going to be like this. They're either going 11-1 or 12-0. They don't have two losses on this schedule. They're going to be in the rivalry game at Georgia Tech. They'll be a 3-touchdown favorite in the final weekend of the season.
If we have these conversations a lot sometimes, but like when they make it to the SEC championship game, are very much high probability that they're going to be undefeated. You can make the argument they could rest guys in the SEC championship game and they'll be fine.
Because, no, I disagree with you.
Yeah.
So I agree with them all. I think they don't have enough, like, what would the college basketball term be? RPI?
No, stop. They would let them in.
Hold on a second. I'm glad you brought this up. So I said, I don't know if I told Dustin, but I told a friend of mine this. I said, here's what we're betting. We're betting Georgia to go undefeated, and we're betting Georgia to miss the playoff at +250. Because to me, they could lose to Bama or LSU. I just threw that LSU in there for you, buddy. They're not getting to Atlanta. They could lose the SEC if Florida State goes undefeated. And Ohio State, Michigan are both 11-0. With that anemic schedule, there's no justification for them getting
But here's the thing. You're thinking about it wrong. Logically, that makes sense. They're not going to do that. They being the council, the people in the hooded robes that are making these decisions, they're not going to do that.
Okay.
They want Georgia in there.
Fair enough. Now, here's the problem, though. South Carolina's going to finish in the – they have to finish in the top 25. Whether they do that or not remains to be seen. I don't think Auburn does. Kentucky, I don't believe, does. Florida, in my opinion, is not as good as other people think they are. And then it's going to come down to Tennessee. You're looking at a Georgia team that could have one top 25 win this year.
I agree with all of the points that you're making.
Yeah.
I just think you're forgetting about the powers that be that won't allow it to happen.
Yeah, I think JVT is factoring the human element that you and I are not. Because my thought is, I look at the schedule. Georgia's schedule is the reason they will win a national championship, and it's also the reason they may not win a national championship.
Because
it won't be strong enough to overcome a loss.
I don't disagree with that point. And I think JVT's point is well made in terms of when you get in the room, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt being back-to-back national champions. And by the way, if Ryan Day went for it on fourth and one, we're not even having this conversation. But here's the other problem, though. I think when you look at, they always give you number of wins over top 25 opponents. I just don't see it with the dogs here. But part of it is predicated upon how other teams do. Texas, Oklahoma, USC. If you wind up with three other undefeated teams, I think it's going to be hard for them to get in over an SEC team.
Because I think the other human element is they're going to crush every single one of these teams.
Yeah, but so can I throw it back at you? If you gave in the top 15, if 12 teams played the schedule, don't you think 10 of them are going undefeated?
Oh, yeah, sure. I completely agree. I mean, look, if I was in the room, I would fight tooth and nail the argument that you are right now. Yeah. I would totally be about it. But I just think we have a long track record of this in terms of just college football and college football playoffs in general. That these sort of things, brands, whatnot, they matter, and they want them in.
Well, and especially if they're the only option from the SEC.
That's the other point.
There's no way the SEC won't get – if they have one loss and they're the only option, Alabama, LSU, whoever has two losses, Georgia's getting in.
I can tell you this. If it's USC, Ohio State, and Michigan – Those brands are getting in over Georgia every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
We already hit the Midwest with Ohio State and Michigan. We don't need it. We don't need two. We just need one more from the
South. Are you kidding me? Look at the ratings for Michigan, Ohio State compared to any other college football game. It is through the roof.
They love the SEC.
The SEC won't tune in.
SEC doesn't have money to spend. Michigan, Ohio State, these teams travel. USC, the donors will show up. Alabama fans have stopped going to games because they've been in so many playoff games. I'm just telling you, look at stadium prices for tickets in the SEC. I'm telling you, because I had a ticket broker business for a long time. Like, they don't sell
southern
money.
Cities.
They don't spend money. What's that?
They're in inexpensive southern cities.
Yeah. There's no the money is not there economically. I'm not trying to disparage them. The money is just not there. We're talking about some of the most impoverished states in the nation.
They're saving their money for the end of the year.
That's right.
The games matter.
To go to the true neutral of Atlanta.
Yes, because LSU, yes, exactly right. Because LSU fans got to fuel up the car. They don't have to fill up the whole thing. They only got to put 3 gallons to drive from Baton Rouge to New Orleans.
LSU also, they got a pretty big road ahead of them. They take one loss right at the beginning of the season. All of a sudden, I think their chances are at life support, aren't they?
Oh, no. They are taking that loss in Orlando.
Not when Florida State wins the ACC. Then we'll go, well, it's not a bad loss.
Oh, then we were doing that with Alabama. That's some good losses. Like, it don't count. God, yeah. See, I'm with you. I'm with you, Mo, huh? All right, let's wrap this thing up so I can go have some fun later today, huh? Sharp money here.
Sodas.
That's right.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSIN. It's why we've already released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide is going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. In-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. You get it for as low as $19 if you're a VSIN Pro subscriber. Check it out. Or, this is the better one, take advantage of our summer kickoff special. Get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Go to VSIN.com/subscribe. I always remind somebody, when you hear everything we do through the Super Bowl, it's an NFL ad, so you think NFL? No. Remember, I write the NBA betting guide every year. You get that. You get the NHL preview. You get the college basketball preview. Everything we do through the Super Bowl.
It's a great point by you, because I think a lot of people like myself were probably unaware of that.
You know what it is, Amal? It's my background in serving people. I've once served, as we know, as we talked about. Being a former barista, yup, sell all the time. You want to add whipped cream to that? You want to add some extra caramel to that? Extra 50 cents, boom, just like that. Upsell, that's what you do.
Surprised I didn't see you in one of my favorite flicks, You Got Served.
No, I didn't. Yes.
2004.
Is it that old now? I don't think I've seen that movie. Have
you
seen that
movie? You Got Served, and there's another dancing movie that I always confuse with each other. Stomp the Yard. I think I like Stomp the Yard
better.
That's
the one I've seen, yes.
Stomp the Yard's better.
That's the one I've seen.
Yeah.
And Magic Mike.
I've never seen Magic Mike.
Surprisingly good.
Have you been to the show here?
No. I've been on the wait list for a long time.
There's a Magic Mike-esque club in Atlanta that I used to drive by. I never went inside, called Swinging Richards.
Swinging Richards. Is it a plural? Or is it an apostrophe? Yes. Because that's a pretty big distinction.
That's a fair point. Our pro tips. Speaking of tips, we have two pro tips today. So John Goulet can't yell at me. He can yell at me for other things I said contextually today. But he can't yell at me for not doing pro tips, because we're going to double
and
up.
And by the way, I'm just here, like, I just do it by osmosis, so I can't get yelled at because you guys have infected me.
So from Amal, look for teams on long losing streaks to back when the situation looks like they could get out of their funk based on matchups. That is number one. Number two from JVT, people misuse the term value too often. It doesn't just mean a plus price. Value should be thought of in terms of the likelihood of the bet cashing.
Wow, like I said that? That sounds really smart.
I dressed it up a little.
You fluffed it up. I like it.
Put a little elbow grease into it.
I will say one of the things that I know, look, I appreciate people think I'm smart sometimes, but my I'll say not my favorite thing is when I fill in, because I fill in a lot of these shows. There's a lot of times where we'll fall into the habit of just looking at me and going, what's the pro tip today? And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not like perfect. You know, you can think of something. You guys are smart too.
It's just, I mean, look, we're coming up with philosophies here that make sense, that other people who are just new into the space or maybe in a funk of their own, like the teams on a losing streak, need a way to get out of it.
All right, we're going tabs or food first?
Let's do food, our picks, then tabs.
Food, picks, tabs. All right, got it.
All right, so we're doing my top 10 fast food value menu items, which is like a dying thing. I think we addressed it at one point, JVT, when you were in this week. There just aren't as many items on these value menus anymore. So we're going to unveil the top two now. Number 10 was Jack in the Box. I've said it all week. It's horrible. It's disgusting. I don't like Jack in the Box unless they want to sponsor the show. It's a dollar for two tacos, though, and it's hard to find a deal like
that.
And
the best part about it, it's never changed.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic. Number 9 is the Wendy's Junior Frosty. The only reason it's not higher is there's no value for the big one and the little one. You just want more. Number 8. The McDonald's Egg Biscuit. I think McDonald's has solid eggs and has phenomenal fast food biscuits. It's under $2. Good deal. Number 7, the Taco Bell Cheesy Roll-Up. Self-explanatory. Number 6, the Rodeo Burger. Completely slept on. A little pricey in terms of value, but certainly not as much as some of the other items. The Spicy Potato Soft Taco at Taco Bell comes in at 5. Then we go back-to-back McDonald's items. McChicken and McDouble, which I'm told the McDouble's more expensive than I thought. I thought it was $2, but apparently it's a little bit more than that. And then that leads us now to 2 and 1. Number 2, I ate 2 of these for lunch yesterday, and I was struggling the rest of the day. And that would be the $1 cheesy bean and rice burrito at Taco Bell. It hits the spot every time.
That sodium will slow you down, though.
Yeah, it's not food. It's not. There's no sustenance.
That's right.
There's no vitamins. And then number 1, a little bit controversial, because people will claim that the ice cream machine never works at their McDonald's, but the best value menu item in the world is the ice cream cone at McDonald's. I've gotten it countless times. It always hits the spot. Their cone is good. The ice cream is perfect. And I've never had issues with ice cream machines.
So two things. First of all, a friend of mine said that to me one time, because he goes to McDonald's a lot and he gets the ice cream cones there and he goes, it's never working. I thought it was like a joke.
It's never working. There's actually a lawsuit about this because
they're lying.
The people that make the actual machines, I think they're suing McDonald's because the workers are just lying because there's a process to it that they don't want to undergo.
Got it.
But by extension, the people who make the machines are like, you're making our product look inferior, even though it's not actually broken. And thus, there's a lawsuit. Can I throw in there? McBroken.com. You ever been here?
No.
It is a McDonald's ice cream machine tracker. It will tell you where the McDonald's ice cream machines in the area are broken or not broken.
That's pretty good.
Like Waze, when they tell you there's a cop up ahead.
But
here's the thing.
So Waze is, right, it's like community-based. We're like, okay, hey, I see an accident. Let's go on Waze and report it. Apparently, there's like an algorithm to it. where like this is actually tracked. It's not like community based. It's like algorithmic, if that's a word, in terms of how they track if these ice cream machines are broken or not. I think they do it by like orders and what's it called? Things like that. It's crazy.
That's pretty neat that you found that. By the way, the other thing, Dustin, you got to tweet this out with an at McDonald's. I think you'll be able to at least get a free meal out of this. I mean, you got three of your top four. You got a ton of followers on Twitter.
Honestly, I don't have a ton of followers. At Dustin Sweetelson, by the way.
Can I say really quick? According to McBroken.com right now, 13.5% of the ice cream machines in the United States at McDonald's are broken.
Whoa. But not really.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the
broken.
Thing. If you have the McDonald's app, not to give free promotions here.
But
there's a reason this body looks like it does. They give away a lot of stuff for free on that app.
Can I throw in my own suggestion for this list? Because it's a very strong one.
Yes.
The double stack at Wendy's is a very good value menu item.
Yeah, I love the junior bacon cheeseburger, but it was pricier than I thought it was going
to
be.
Used to be 99 cents.
The junior bacon cheeseburger to me, like when it was a buck, was camp. It would have been top two.
Yep. Very good.
It's world's changing. I used to be able to go up to girls in college and go, look, if you can't eat dollar menu, we're not going to be a fit.
Speaking of change, people want extra change in their pockets. You got picks, plays. What do we got?
I got a couple of plays,
and they're in the WNBA. So let's go
Whoa.
To the,
let's yeah. do it.
Let's go with the WNBA tonight. Right now, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern, Washington Mystics laying 2.5 to 3 at home against the Indiana Fever, and then the Minnesota Lynx laying 5.5 against the Phoenix Mercury. This Phoenix Mercury team is bad, and so both those teams. 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock Eastern start times.
Minnesota -5.5 is what you
yeah.
said. And what was the other one?
Washington Mystics at 3.
Well, -3.
Yes.
I like it.
I love that.
Can I throw something in there really quickly?
Do it.
Under 184.5 in Victor Wembanyama's debut here tonight. San Antonio and Charlotte. Just literally based on nothing but the market adjustment. Again, average totals on Monday were 166.9. We're up to 186.5 in some of these games. Charlotte hasn't been that good offensively in the two summer league games. And a lot of good defensive personnel. I'll go under.
By the way, why did JVT ask, can I share something quickly, like he's not a part of the show?
I mean, well, because I'm filling in. I don't know what the vibe is.
No, you're the lead host today, dog.
Okay, all right.
All right, my plays.
You can't go.
Going to take the Mets at plus 102 at the Padres. I said a week ago the Mets are unbettable until further notice. Well, they haven't lost in July. They're officially bettable again. I might actually fade. You should probably fade me, though. Yu Darvish has been horrible of late. Mets offense is hitting. Let's go with them on this road trip. Also, -102 on the Reds at the Brewers. Abbott is on the hill for Cincy. He's been better than Corbin Burns, so I don't mind backing him there, and I trust Cincinnati's offense. Cole Irvin and the Orioles at +$1.28 at the Twins. Minnesota's horrible against lefties. I think Baltimore's offense is more trustworthy in this spot. Give me that plus price, and here's a little bit of a risk. The Washington Nationals hosting the Texas Rangers, +148. Very secretively, well, not secretly, but under the radar, Washington's very good against left-handed pitching, and I like them backing them today at +148 with Trevor Williams on the bump. Those are my four plays for the day.
All right.
I like your play there. If you're taking Texas in that game opposite of you, you'd have to take the run line there. Too high of a price on the road for the Rangers.
Any tabs?
Some tabs. Let's see what we got open. Let's see what we got here. That's the Canada Stars thing we already went over. Acuna we got. You got served in 2004. We just went over that as well. I don't have as many tabs as I thought.
Oh, look at that. Man, we're tight today, huh?
Yeah, we clean things up immediately. That's kind of a you thing, JVT.
Oh, sorry. This is what I mean. Slide. I don't get the show, you know?
Yeah, no, you don't get the show.
That and also the fact that we probably didn't talk about anything factual for about 2.5 hours.
NBA Summer League, when did it start? What year? Any guesses?
2007.
Nope. Out here in Las Vegas, it started in like 2005.
2004 in Vegas. Okay. It began in 2002 in Orlando.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Orlando one's better if you actually want to watch some real competition.
And then the Avril Lavigne replacement conspiracy theory from hour one, the body double's real name was Melissa Vandella. She's now the fake Avril.
That's like real?
Look it up.
I know she's got a double, but wow.
Look it incredible. Up, conspiracy.
All right, we're all done. Have a good weekend. If you're at a summer league on the off chance, come say what's up. We got a set out there. Until then, primetime coming up next. You're on VSiN.